Hey, if you're starting to think beyond your student loans, check out our other show, Financially Free Era. It's about what comes next, investing, building wealth, and designing a life you actually want. Just search for Financially Free Era wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Student Loan Planner Podcast. It's Travis Hornsby, and today we're going to be talking about how much you should borrow for grad school and why it's totally different now with the new legislation that passed this past year. I want to talk about the old math of grad plus and grad borrowing, just to kind of compare it and contrast it to the new math. So the old math was basically, if you can borrow unlimited amounts of grad plus, you're going to pay 10% of your income if you have $100,000 of loans or $400,000 of loans. And the only kind of marginal cost of borrowing more is if you transition yourself away from a pay my loans off strategy. So in other words, if you have $100,000, you're paying $1,000 a month for 10 years. If you transition yourself away from that to pay 10% of my income for 20 years under the pay as you earn a new IBR plan, then there would be a marginal cost from going from that, you know, pay $1,000 a month situation to paying 10% of my income. For example, if you're a dentist making $200,000 a year, 10% of that income, 20 grand a year, of course, is more than $1,000 a month. The problem there, again, is there was no difference between paying 10% of your income, say, with $300,000 of dental school loans and paying 10% of your income on, say, $700,000 of dental school loans. So what that really meant is when you borrowed for graduate school period, the only cost was 10% of your income. And so if you think about that cost, 10% of your income, it depended on if it was for 10 years with PSLF or 20 or 25 years with pay or new IBR or old IBR. And you could have really thought about it, and you should have thought about it like an income tax. For example, if you're going to lose 10% of your income, take that away from what your earnings are going to be after graduation when you're finally out earning your large, normal postgraduate income, and take away that 10%. After taking away that 10%, is your income more or less than it would have been if you had not gotten a professional or graduate degree at all? The secondary analysis is, do you find the work that you're doing more meaningful than if you had just gotten a bachelor's degree and had to go get a corporate job somewhere? So that was the analysis. I'm going to read off a few different professions of people that listen to our podcast just to kind of run this old analysis and contrast it to the new analysis. So if I say physicians, dentists, veterinarians, physical therapists, physician assistants, lawyers, CRNAs, nurse practitioner, pharmacist, psychologist, chiropractor, and podiatrist, pretty much any of those professions, you are going to make more money, you know, after taking away 10% of your income for student loans. The income after 10% of student loans was going to be higher than just with a bachelor's degree only. Now, of course, not in every case. You know, if you had gotten a job at Facebook or something like that, yeah, sure, you would have made more than a lot of those professions. But if you just say, you know, the average pharmacist, after taking away 10% of your income for student loans, right? So average pharmacist in our audience makes about $160,000 a year, give or take. 10% of that, 16 grand. So, you know, about $150,000 or so of income after accounting for the IDR payment of 10% of your income, that's still a lot more than what you're earning with a bachelor's degree. And, you know, furthermore, all of those predominantly healthcare professions also have much better unemployment statistics in the middle of a recession. So not only is the income there in those professions higher, it's also more secure. So you're able to keep your job more likely than not. Compared to somebody with only a bachelor's degree where their income is a little bit more susceptible to the business cycle and the booms and busts of the economy. The problem is that math is totally changing for people who have not taken out a loan as of July 2026 already. You know, those folks are grandfathered in. If you took out a loan before July 2026 for a course of study that you're currently enrolled in, you get grandfathered in and you can finish your course of study with Grad Plus loans up into the completion of the program more 3 years after 2026, whichever's coming first. That means for the people who are in this sort of weird in-between period, right? The people who are still borrowing after July 2026, those folks are going to be stuck with the RAP plan for either 10 years with PSLF, and that math is not all that different at all for physicians, you know, going for PSLF. But the math is very different for, you know, say dentists who are going for the 30-year RAP plan private sector forgiveness. You know, if you have, you know, a USC or NYU sized student loan debt amount from dental school, if you have 600,000, 700,000 of loans, you're going to have to do forgiveness. It doesn't matter that it's 30 years. 30 years is much worse than 20 with new IBR, but you're going to have to do the 30-year forgiveness path. That's going to be your only option. Those folks are, if you think about it, it's still an income tax. It's just an income tax for 30 years instead of 20 years. So if it's still an income tax, then, well, it's not pleasant, but maybe you hope for an income tax, quote unquote, cut in the future by them changing the IDR plans yet again in a future administration. But what about the folks who are starting a program after July 2026? How much should those people be borrowing for graduate school? And the interesting answer is it depends on the profession. So I'm going to give you a list of professions that you should pretty much borrow almost anything for. I'll give you a list of professions that you'd want to borrow only in certain situations, certain dollar amounts for. And then I'll give you a list of professions that, in terms of private student loans, that you should not borrow private student loans for at all. And you should only borrow federal loans if you borrow those at all. The first tier of the how much should you borrow for graduate and professional school, the first tier is physician, physician assistant, and nurse practitioner. So these professions, running the analysis for any reasonably priced program, including private programs, not 100% of the time, but maybe 90-95% of the time, you could justify taking out most any amount of private student loans for these three professions and having it have a positive ROI. Running the math, you know, you don't see that many programs for DNP or PA programs that are extremely, extremely expensive for whatever reason. They're mostly sanely priced instead of insanely priced. Part of that reason is because some of the programs, like PA programs, some of them are a little bit shorter, but the earnings are pretty solid from those programs from our experience. So we see mid 150-ish thousand dollar type incomes from those professions. And so in most cases, the fairly modest-sized student loan debt is paying off. Now, if they do the borrowing limits of $20,500 per year for those PA and NP degrees, then folks will have to borrow a lot of private student loans to make those degrees possible in most cases. You know, does the math support the cost of attendance for those two degrees? Yes, it does. For medical school, let's talk about how much you should borrow for medical school for a second. You know, those degrees, you know, the only scenario where you would not borrow as much private student loans as you need for medical school would be if your plan is to go into primary care. If your plan is to become a, you know, family medicine doctor or a pediatrician, then you might want to be a little cautious about borrowing over the $50,000 per year limit for medical school for people that are rising first year medical students in July 2026. But if you're planning to do any other specialty besides primary care, the math just supports borrowing a significant amount of private student loans. If you look at the income potential, you look at the upside potential for medicine, you look at the security of the profession in recessions in terms of employment and making an income, the math just checks out, even for private high-cost medical schools. Not to say that it would be pleasant, not to say that you would not feel like it wasn't worth it in the middle of an 80-hour a week residency program where you're making almost nothing and staring down a massive amount of private student loans that all have to be paid back instead of the way it used to be where you could borrow $400,000 or $500,000 for medical school and know it was going to be taken care of with PSLF. That is totally different. So the stress, the psychological toll might not be worth it anymore. But from a pure financial perspective, borrowing as much private student loans as you need for medical school does make sense in 90-95% of the time. Now let's talk about some professions where it really only makes sense to borrow private student loans in certain circumstances. And by the way, for that top tier professions, I should have thrown in CRNAs in that mix as well. Now the tier that it only makes sense to borrow private student loans in certain circumstances, That's going to be dentists, veterinarians, lawyers, let's see, pharmacists, psychologists, and podiatrists in that group. Let me explain why. Pretty much, if you look at the math for these professions, a lot of them are four-year programs, so you end up borrowing a lot more money because you're borrowing for another year of school and you're borrowing for living expenses for another year. Not in every case. I mentioned law school in this list, right? That's a three-year program. The reason I'm saying this is if you get into an in-state low-cost program for dental school, vet school, law school, et cetera, and you have a strong desire to do that profession long-term, go. And if you need some private student loans to complete that degree, that's okay. If you go to one of the T14 law schools and your plan is to be in big law and you need to take out an extra $30,000 per year private student loans, that's okay. Go ahead and take out the private student loans that you need. What people are going to do post-graduation for these types of fields is they're going to need to target their private student loans where the payments are, you know, involuntary and not flexible. You would want to pay off the private student loans first, take advantage of the federal student loan wrap plan subsidies, and then just essentially wait on paying off the federal student loans until you're a lot more financially secure while targeting the private student loans not having a negative impact on your life. Now, for the people in these professions, let me tell you what I would not do. I would not take out private student loans for dental school to attend a school like an NYU or University of Southern California or University of Pacific or one of these high-cost programs. And why is that? It's because the amount of private student loans that you will need will be astronomical. If you're looking at the cost of the private student loans, if you run the math, when you talk about a huge amount of dental or vet school loans that are needed to attend a private school, if you come out with the full private student loan amount after graduation, you know, you're going to be making less money after taxes, after student loans are deducted, than if you just done a bachelor's degree in a lot of cases. And if you don't believe me on the math, you know, run the math of a situation where you borrow for 4 years, you get $200,000 of federal student loans. Let's say you've got $400,000 of private student loans in total. So you're having to pay, you know, essentially about $1,500 a month or so on the federal student loans. And then you're having to pay $3,000 to $5,000 a month on private student loans. So all in, you're talking maybe like $40,000 to $60,000 a year of student loan payments. That's after tax dollars, though, because student loans are not tax deductible. So on a pre-tax basis, that's equivalent to like $60,000 to $90,000 per year in salary value. Well, if you come out of dental school making $150,000 a year and you're losing $90,000 of your salary to student loan payments before taxes, your after-tax or your net after student loan payments is $60,000 a year. Now, you might argue, well, wait a second, Travis, I could go to Oklahoma, rural Oklahoma, next to a Native American reservation and get loan assistance and make $300,000 a year, you know, working in the middle of nowhere. Well, that might be true. That might be true, right? And maybe that's still justifiable to do that financially and take out the huge amounts of private student loans you need to get a private school dental degree instead of a public dental school degree. But I think what a lot of people would experience in that situation is just frustration and regret. And I don't want anybody to go get a graduate degree and then experience frustration and regret. You have to go in eyes wide open. Like if you go to a high-cost private school for dental or vet school or law school or something, you know, you're going to have to be willing to do what it takes to make the ROI of that make sense. And what that probably means is moving to a middle of nowhere place, or if you're a vet, maybe like trying to position yourself for some kind of like high-paying kind of relief work or emergency work, right? That's more stressful, but pay is better. You know, you're going to have a harder time justifying the private student loans for those degrees if it's a high-cost private school. Let me say this again. An in-state public university, that's going to be a good deal for all those professions. So if you get into your state's or in-state dental school, go for it. You know, in-state vet school, right? Go for it. You're going to have some private student loans, and those will be worth it, but it's not going to be an insane number. It'll be something that you'll be able to handle. But the really high-cost, mostly coastal schools are not going to have a payoff, maybe with the exception of people who, maybe law schools that are going for the top big law jobs, that'll probably make sense to take private student loans for. And maybe the people who are like going to the high-cost private dental school and saying, yes, I will move to rural Oklahoma. I will do whatever it takes to make $300,000 a year to pay off my dental school loans really fast. So that's sort of the tier two of how much should you borrow. You know, you should borrow the max federal student loans plus maybe $20,000, up to $20,000 or so a year for other costs for those degrees, by and large, with the, you know, limited exceptions that I mentioned for people who are willing to do whatever it takes to pay off huge loans in those fields. Now let's talk about the third tier that I would not take any private student loans for. You know, would not take any private student loans for any naturopath degrees, chiropractic degrees, acupuncture degrees, etc. Maybe also physical therapists I would put in that list. And so let me explain what I mean by that before I get in trouble, right? Let me just say that, you know, the loan rules are really strange in this part of the professional degree world, right? Because, for example, chiropractic, you can borrow $50,000 a year for, you know, for 4 years. So maybe you could find a degree program that you could attend for that. And if so, then maybe that makes sense because you could get a degree and you could pay 10% of your income and the math makes sense. But if you have like our average, I think chiropractor makes about $110,000 a year. That's not bad. But if you throw on any significant private student loans on top of that, it'll make life pretty challenging and, you know, it'll push you below the earnings that you'd make with a bachelor's degree only, right? So that's just something to think about. Physical therapists actually average income among our readers about $97,000. So the other challenging part is physical therapists might be limited to just $20,500 per year in federal borrowing. If that happens, people are not going to be able to take out, or they're not going to be able to take out enough federal loans. So they'll have to take a lot of private loans. And with how much oversaturation there is in PT schools, that'll make it kind of hard to justify paying $1,000, $2,000, $3,000 a month after graduation when you could have made more than that just with a bachelor's degree without any private student loans at all. So that's something to really consider about PTs and such. Now, similar story to, you know, naturopathic programs, like don't take out private student loans for that degree in our experience, or acupuncture programs. This is just a guideline, right? I could also talk about some other professional graduate programs. There's also, you know, social work masters, there's speech language pathologists, there are other, like, you know, MBA programs, right? And I think what's going to have to be done for all these fields is for the social work degrees, for the speech language pathology degrees, take out as much as you can in federal student loans and then say, will I have to take out any private student loans at all? For the lower paying fields, I would definitely not take out more than $10,000 a year for the lower paying fields, right? Also, this includes teaching masters, right? Like, you're going to have to look at it from an ROI perspective and say, you know, do I have to have this to practice? And if yes, can I take out a very modest amount of debt to get the degree and get out as quickly as possible? And for these other degrees like MBA programs and such, that math is just going to be, is there an ROI? Will I make more money after graduation to cover the cost of attending, including my opportunity cost? And that math is going to look really different than it did in the past. So just to summarize some of these thoughts, how much should you borrow for graduate and professional school? If you're already in school and you know, as of July 2026, you've already borrowed for a program, finish borrowing the way you would normally. If you're going to take out a huge amount of student loans and you know you need to be able to complete your degree, do that. It's a 10% income tax after graduation. Even if you have to do that for 30 years, in most cases, it's still going to make sense compared to just getting a bachelor's degree. However, if you are attending a new graduate or professional school program as of July 2026 and you've not borrowed for that program yet, you're subject to the new borrowing limits, which are $20,500 per year if you're just doing a graduate program that's not a professional degree, or $50,000 per year if you're attending a program that is a professional degree. And know the Department of Ed has a weird definition of what a professional degree is, right? Some of the programs potentially might be excluded that would normally think they'd be professional degrees, but for whatever reason, they're not coded that way. And so when you're looking at the math, how much should I borrow for these professional degrees? Well, it depends on the degree. We've talked about this idea of the tier one, tier two, tier three programs in terms of how much you should borrow. So the tier three programs are probably no more than $10,000 in private student loans per year. So that's like the chiropractic degrees, social work, teaching, naturopath, acupuncture, physical therapy, anything that's going to cause you to not have a huge ceiling on your income, right? You're not going to be able to make $300,000 a year in those fields. So it's important that you borrow an amount of private student loans that the income you're going to make after graduation will be able to support. The tier two ones are the dental, vet, law type programs, pharmacy, where it does make sense to take out maybe $20,000 to $30,000 per year in private student loans. More than that might be quite challenging, and that's going to correlate to going to an in-state type of institution for the most part. And if you do go private, you could go to a private school, but if you're taking out $50,000 or more in private student loans per year to get one of those degrees, you have to think about the fact that you're going to have to go someplace that's a little bit out of the way, a place that's probably a little bit less than ideal for what most younger people would want to live in after graduation to be able to make the math make sense. And then there's the tier one degrees, which are, you know, MDs, NPs, PAs that are going to have a payoff pretty much for any reasonable amount of private student loans that you borrow. So, you know, if somebody said, should I borrow $50,000 of private student loans per year on top of my $50,000 federal student loans per year for medical school, I would say as long as you're wanting to do something besides primary care, the answer is probably yes. You'll probably be able to make a payoff on that regardless of what happens after graduation from what we've seen in our surveys of our readership. Of course, your situation may be different, but we are doing consultations on people who are borrowing for school now. It's the same consult length that we use for existing borrowers. So you can just go to studentloanplanner.com/book if you want one of our new pre-debt consults. Basically, what we've done with this is we've calculated the ROI in great detail with a combination of the wrap plan and private student loans that we're expecting somebody to leave school with. And we calculate, you know, when the payments would hit in terms of how much they would be and what percent of income they would be. We look at your income if you didn't go to the program compared to the income going to the program. And we just kind of basically put people at ease and give people peace of mind who were currently borrowing for either themselves for a graduate or professional program or for their kids, if they're Parent Plus folks that are trying to avoid taking out Parent Plus loans after July 2026. So that's a new service that we have. It's bookable with the same booking link that we use for consultations for our student loan consult service for existing folks that already have finished graduating and finished borrowing. So that link again is studentloanplanner.com/book. I hope you're enjoying some really nice spring weather. That's all for this week. I hope you have a wonderful rest of your week, and hopefully you enjoyed learning a little bit about the new state of how much you should borrow for graduate and professional school. Are you on the free Student Loan Planner email list? If yes, you can upgrade your experience and discover student loan loopholes so good, they might get repealed if I talk about them publicly. Find out my very best thought leadership that I really just can't be super open about anymore, unfortunately. If you want to get our very best tips, not just the ones that I can share for free, go to studentloanplanner.com/insider to get a special discount for your year membership. That's studentloanplanner.com/insider and get our very best dozens of bonus content and tips that's going to save you money and get you out of student debt faster. And if you're already an SLP insider, please reply back to those emails and let me know how I can make it even more valuable.